We have a guy who went to North Carolina, was a longtime NBAer, worked here in Toronto with the Raptors, worked here in Toronto with the 905, and is now a head coach down with Vanderbilt, back on Overdrive. First time in a long time. Here is Jerry Stackhouse. What's happening, Jerry?
What's up, fellas? I'm doing good, man. Trying to handle these crazy times.
I hear you, man. I mean, how about you as a coach with college kids? Like, are you keeping in contact with your guys, and how do you deal with such uncertainty being a coach in college?
Man, we're able to Zoom and get to see their face and call and check in on our guys. So I think from that standpoint, it's pretty similar. A lot of those guys would probably be home anyway, the ones that weren't in summer school. So it's still kind of maintaining tabs on those. But the difference has been able to recruit, like just having to be able to get guys on visits, whether it was an unofficial or official visit, just to try to sell your program and sell the city and the college atmosphere by, you know, you can imagine how that is. I mean, it was not the best solution, but I think we're all, you know, doing the best we can to adjust to the times.
Jerry, when guys ask you, what are we doing next year? Are we for sure going to play? Are we going to be living in the dorms? Are we going to be back on campus? What do you tell them?
Well, I think I try to be, you know, honest and optimistic. As leaders, we want to be optimistic and hope that we're back playing. But we honestly don't know, right? I think we're taking our cues and our leadership from our administration, who's taking their cues and their leadership from the local and state authorities as well as the CDC. So I think no matter what, we're going to do what we can to make sure the student athletes are able to come back to a safe environment. And I think probably at risk is like the faculty and are more so at risk than the actual, you know, the kids. So I think those are just things that we want to make sure we have all the protocols in place. And being here at Vanderbilt, we feel really good about it because Vanderbilt Medical Center is, you know, one of the leaders in trying to help figure things out, and they're doing a good job. So the fact that we have them, you know, right here under our nose, whatever protocols that we have in place, we feel it's going to be the right thing to do.
Well, you mentioned recruiting a moment ago, which, I mean, that's a grind at the best of times. I mean, you're Vanderbilt is a storied program, but it's not Carolina, it's not Duke, it's not Kentucky. So how much of your salesmanship is based around your own resume and who you are? You know, Jerry Stackhouse, one of the great college players of all time, longtime NBAer. How much of it is actually come play for me as opposed to come play at Vanderbilt?
Well, I think it's a fine balance there. I think it's good on both sides. I think these kids, they all got aspirations of playing at that next level. And I think not only just at the next level, but things that they aspire to do even at the secondary level. You know, McDonald's All-American and different things like that. I've been able to do that, and I can speak to that. So I think that's important as part of our pitch, but I think that my pro career, being able to play as long as I did, as well as coach at that level and develop, I think that's where that's a big sell with kids and their parents. They know that they need to get better and they want to get better and they want to go to places where they can be pushed. But we don't neglect the academic side of it because it takes the certain type of kid to get here. So it's like we know what our pool is. You know, we identify the kids. First thing that I want to hear, let me see his transcript, right? I don't want to go down a whole long road of recruiting a kid and knowing that, you know, chances that he can come here and be successful. So it's about finding that balance. And I really don't think it's a disadvantage to us. I mean, we've got a number of guys that we, you know, talk to that and parents that want this. They want the an Ivy League education and still allow their kid to play, Power Five basketball and one of, if not the best conference in the country. And that's hard for me to say now. You know, I come from ACC country. So, but, you know, just being part of this for a year that we, you know, and the talent that has gone on to the next level through this conference is a great sale. And Nashville is really a diamond in the rough. I hadn't spent a lot of time here before I got the job, but I'm really enjoying, you know, the city, the fan base, the support that we have. It's, you know, it's been some down years, but we're looking to get it back, and I think we're last year.
Jerry, if you're still on there with us, you mentioned you're an ACC guy. You went to Carolina. Michael Jordan went to Carolina.
I think he dropped,
did you make?
Johnny.
Did he drop? Oh,
yeah, I
want
so.
I want everybody on the Last Dance.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
You know,
he was like the next Michael Jordan at Carolina. I mean,
right.
he compared to him quite a bit, so I wonder what he would think there.
Yeah, no, we'll get him back. He'll call back. And
he makes a good point about Nashville, though. I think now that we've been around it enough, it's a sneaky fun town. Like, that town would recruit itself. Vandy's right close to the downtown area in Nashville, and I could be persuaded to go.
Johnny, sneaky fun? Or, I mean, everyone knows.
Or just straight up fun.
It's Nash Vegas. Like, there are people that want to go to Nashville instead of going to Vegas now.
I've been down that road. Believe me, I was at a fork in the road, and I went Nashville myself. But we have Jerry Stackhouse back on the line, and Jerry, we were talking about college and where you went. You went to Carolina, and obviously a lot of people still responding to the Last Dance and Jordan and the mark that he made at Carolina. When you got there, how big of a presence did he have at the school, and did you feel like you were following in his footsteps?
Well, I mean, I think whenever you thought about North Carolina, you thought about, Michael Jordan, James Worthy. That was really what, come to mind to me. I mean, more recently, because I was, Kenny Smith and J.R. Reed. I mean, being from North Carolina, I watched all these games, these great ACC rivalries, firsthand. But I think, really, where Michael Jordan really probably took off for most of us was in Chicago. It wasn't necessarily in North Carolina. He made the shot and kind of propelled him on into the league. But being able to see all of the pros that had come through North Carolina, that Coach Smith had touched, being on that campus and visiting. I went away for my senior year. I went up to Oak Hill in Virginia, and my family wasn't able to see me as much. So it was important for me to get back, and North Carolina just made, way more sense. I was recruited by Duke. I mean, they were in my probably top two or three, but I just ultimately settled on, North Carolina, just feeling that the connection with Coach Smith, Coach Ford, and wearing that blue was a little bit different.
Jerry, did you have any run-ins with Michael Jordan? We saw how crazy competitive he is, great trash talker, whether it's down in Chapel Hill in the summers or in the pros. Or did you have any run-ins that were memorable with him?
Yeah, I mean, I just think we all had a tremendous amount of respect for Michael early on. I mean, I think he used to come back a little bit, and it was, there was a whole big story coming like my rookie year of that. I said that I had beat Michael Jordan in a one-on-one game, and I think it was, like you said, Michael Jordan make things that, like, he might have made it up himself,
wouldn't be the first time
dance, he was looking. But imagine that, man. It fancies me that I'm not even the type, I would not tell anybody that it's just not. But I just think those are things that, for whatever reason, being from North Carolina, going to the University of North Carolina, I was always pitted against Michael Jordan, So it's like, if you're supposed to be the next guy, we're not going to allow you guys to be chummy, so to speak. And it's not something that I, long for. I mean, I had my friends, I had my, kind of my clique, my group, so it was like, being a part of Michael Jordan's, entourage wasn't at the forefront of my career goals. So I think I respected him tremendously. I think we were all two levels behind him when I came into the league, and he was like coming back out of retirement from playing baseball. And I think the next time, when he, toward 98, we always feel like, all right, we're getting a little bit closer to him. And then, obviously the years in Washington, we felt that, okay, we can look at Michael. We're actually looking the greatest in the game eye to eye now, because he wasn't himself. He obviously could go and still get, 50 points, or he could get 30 points, but he wasn't that guy that we saw be dominant for so many years. I mean, the people, you know, people in hindsight, people's like, wow, you know, talk about a, you know, trade. Why did he trade me, trade for me in Washington? Because he wanted to win. I mean, he saw me that year before. Nobody wants to go back and watch the games against the Washington Wizards with him and Richard Hamilton. And I was killing their ass every night. And every time that we played. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I was, you know, brought into Washington. Did I want to go to Washington? No. I mean, I was on a team that had, you know, worked our way up from a 32-50 team to a 50-32 team to get into the second round of the playoffs. I feel like our next step was finally getting to the finals. That had kind of been the pattern of, you know, players from my seat. You know, you kind of go up a ring, knock back down, and go up a ring. And now I'm, you know, at this second run, and here I am, you know, getting knocked back down to a team that's talking about making the playoffs for the first time in 9 years. So, obviously, you know, just being able to rub shoulders with Michael Jordan, you know, and the outlook on it was great. But really, once I was in it, and like, man, this isn't what I want. I mean, it's almost like I'm, you know, because the first thing was to pit us against each other. You know, I felt like I was wanting to come in and be and learn from Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan was still of an alpha mindset, you know, and that wasn't going to change. You know, he wasn't about to hand it over to me, even though. And I think, you know, some people took my statement wrong where I felt like I said that I was a better player than Michael Jordan. And all right, but maybe that statement is just sounds crazy because it's Michael Jordan. But I stand by that I was better suited to lead that team at that point in my career than Michael Jordan was at 40 years old. You know, I take that to my grave. So, but, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I think it's all a year that we all feel like we could look back and say that we wish that we could have done without. You know, I enjoy Michael Jordan off the court. I mean, I had great dinners with him. I had great times. We drank some of the most expensive wine that you ever want to imagine. But,
of course.
But, you know, and smoked some of the best cigars. So it wasn't like we had any animosity, but just our, you know, our chemistry on the court, you know, from always being competitors, just wasn't teammates.
With Jerry Stackhouse, so two guys you're very familiar with up here in Toronto played a prominent roles in getting that ring last year, and that would be Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet. And they were big parts of the team this year that were on pace for another 60 wins and second seed in the East. And I think Lowry, he's got 1 year left on his deal, probably comes back next year, maybe extends beyond that. But I think there's a good chance, you know, within the next 12 to 24 months, this is Pascal Siakam and Fred VanVleet's team. When you consider what they look like when you were up here in Toronto with the Raptors staff and with 905, how do you feel about that and where their careers are at today and where they appear to be going?
Oh, man, obviously it feels good. You know, it feels good to know that we played a role in helping them, you know, get there. You know, I got to add Norm in as part of that, too.
Right.
You know, Norm was one of, you know, guys that when I was on staff with the Raptors, you know, when he wasn't in the rotation and different things like that, you know, he just battled every day, you know, playing one-on-one. That was a beautiful thing about being on, you know, coaching, where I was still able to get out on the floor, you know, even when I was with the Raptors or at 905, being able to not only just tell them, but being able to show them, get out and teach them. So I think that was, it was awesome seeing those guys, you know, because, I mean, you can't teach what Fred and, you know, Norm and Pascal got. They got unbelievable competitive drive, and then they got the willingness to learn, okay, this is how we need to do it, and the wherewithal to go out there and execute and do what you asked them to do. So, I mean, it's just, it was a perfect storm, man, obviously. The only bad part of it was we kind of wasn't a part of it, but you know, it's just the business of basketball, man. I was happy for Nick. I mean, those guys, Nick and, you know, Rex and you know, Case, all of us, we spend a lot of time sitting up talking basketball and trying to figure out the best way to get it done. And ultimately some of those things that we talked about was the end result of, you know, them, you know, championship, you know, in the North right now, and it's still probably going to be the longest reigning championship in the history of
right.
The championship.
So, we'll take it, man. We'll take it.
But nah, but it's all good, man. Like I said, it's not but love for the country. Toronto, the city, was unbelievable to me. But being able to win a championship championship there with the G League team, and you know, and just so many things, lessons that I learned from, you know, working with Masai and working with MLSE, just, you know, the same things that I do now. I mean, even with, you know, had a culture change, it's been able to, you know, stay in-house. We don't go outside of who we are, just kind of promote in-house and continue to build. And those were principles and things that I learned while I was there that are helping me, you know, on this platform that I'm on now.
Well, continued success. It's always great catching up with you. Stay safe, and we'll do this again down the road. Thank you, Jerry.
Appreciate you guys, man. Take care. Stay safe.
You got it. There he is. Jerry Stackhouse from Vanderbilt was up here with the 905, assistant coach with the Raptors. Kind of interesting stories there about him and Jordan
Washington. Got some moxie there.
Yeah. Exactly.
Man.
He's not bowing down to anybody.
No, man. He is not. Like,
I love it.
I love it, too. And he's not wrong. Like, Jordan at 40 was... He was Jordan at 40, man. He was, but you. Yeah. I'm not surprised Jordan wasn't willing to hand over any of the leadership, which is probably a flaw. Like, it's his greatest asset when he's in his prime and in shape, being right, an alpha dog that's going to drag you. But it's a flaw when you can't do it anymore, and you won't allow yourself to realize you can't do it anymore. And that's clearly what happened. Yeah.
You keep running the show like you're the guy you were 10 years prior, but you're not.
You're
like,
not.
Those Washington teams were not. It was a dark. I was the biggest Jordan guy ever growing up, and that was a dark chapter. That was not the ribbon on the end of the career.
No, it wasn't.
But you don't. For me, I don't remember it. You know what I mean? Like you don't envision Jordan in another
can't
jersey.
Even picture him. No.
Right. Like people forget. I think Bobby Orr finished in Chicago, didn't he?
Chicago.
Yeah,
yes.
That's right. Yeah,
you don't, you know, like there's these great legends, like you associate them with a team. You don't, you forget.
Is that Gretz playing in St. Louis for 17 games?
Yeah,
or whatever, like, it was.
Yeah, like I don't even. I only reason I know that is because of the players that he was there the year before me. So mm-hmm. I mean, there was still a buzz. But you're right. Like you don't associate. I don't associate. Jordan with Washington.
No, nobody does. It's a complete just. Asterisk, footnote, like, who cares? Step over there. We wish that didn't happen.
Exactly.
Scenario.